This is CliffCentral.com.
This is our Leadership Masterclass, and this is the leader interview section of it. The first half hour we spoke about how do I rate myself as a South African leader? And we asked this pertinent question that any good leader should ask him or herself, which is, how do I move this situation in a positive direction? So you can go listen to that podcast. But now we have in the studio Catherine Constantinides and Sibongile Khumalo. They had a very interesting trip. We think we can take a lot from that. So yeah, you guys tell us about the trip. What is it actually called, Sibongile? And then Catherine, the Mandela Washington Fellowship trip thingamajig. just the essence of it.
So Adrian, Catherine and I were part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, which is a fellowship that's part of the Young African Leaders Initiative of President Obama that was started about 2012, I think it is. We were part of a third cohort, but we were double the number that there were before in the first 2 years. So there were 1,000 of us selected from 49 sub-Saharan African countries.
Sure.
And we were placed at 37 different institutions or colleges and universities in the United States. And Catherine will tell you a little bit more about the presidential precinct because her experience was a little different. I was placed at Wagner College on Staten Island in New York for 6 weeks. And this is a program that really empowers young African leaders through academic coursework, leadership development, mentorship, professional opportunities, and support for our projects individually back home. So I was part of a group of 25 at Wagner from 20 different sub-Saharan African countries.
All right. And what you were part of programs at that university or that college. Was it very specifically designed for you, or did you just fall into current programs?
So every college and university would design their own academic coursework. So at Wagner College, we focused on a theme every week, so that those were themes ranging from economics and monetary policies to education and health systems of African countries, but also obviously learning from America and trying to teach Americans as well.
I like that last part. Because I'm sure you've had some, maybe not a lot, ask, well, what gives America the right to import some of our leaders into the U.S. and train and teach them and send them back to Africa? You know, I guess that there's some logical answers to that. But Catherine, overview of what it was about?
I think I was on quite a different program. So I was on civic leadership at the presidential precinct, which I was based in Virginia. And the opportunity I had was a bit unique to the other universities. We shared 6 different institutions where we spent 1 week with each institution, starting at the University of Virginia, right across to 3 of the former president's homes in the U.S., as well as ending off at William & Mary, which is the second oldest university in the U.S. And I think my experience was really about that knowledge share, both from an American perspective, but also from a perspective of South Africa, us sharing with them, but them being America and Americans that we engaged. But the other thing for me that was so crucially important and was such a big take home was the fact that I got to engage with 24 other young African leaders from across the continent. Being the only South African at the presidential precinct, I engaged with 24 other young people from 20 different countries. And
that in itself is a great opportunity.
Oh, my goodness.
The network,
the opportunity, the network, the bond created amongst these 24 young people. And young African people from very, very different backgrounds and doing phenomenal things. Often, I think, in the media, not only in South Africa, but across the world, the African narrative is one that is negative, that is about conflict, that is about...
we want money, please.
Absolutely. Aid. We don't always have the opportunity to understand the positive things that are happening across our continent, the phenomenal young people that actually are driving Africa forward. Africa has its own challenges. That goes without a doubt. However, when you sit and have very intimate, very in-depth conversations over periods of days with young people from Djibouti, from Nigeria, people who are fighting Boko Haram, I was with a young woman, Buki, and Buki is the leader of Bring Back Our Girls, the campaign that started when the 200, 300 odd girls were taken in Nigeria. Every single day, she continues to stand up and she tweets one specific thing every single day, focusing on that campaign. The people that I got to be with, amongst the 25 of us, 8 of the young leaders that I was with have all been in prison. And they've all been in prison as political activists in their own countries. One young gentleman who I was with, unbelievable young man from Ethiopia, he was in jail for more than 450 days. Out of those 450 days, he spent 3 months in solitary confinement, all because they were bogus charges, and he was only let out after that 450-day period. However, he still lives in fear because of what his government is doing. And I think the stories and the understanding the context of our own continent, the most powerful part of the journey was the fact that America had to take us all the way to America to learn about Africa.
Yes.
So as much as there's a knowledge share and as much as there is so much for us to teach Americans and other African countries, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have come back home with two networks, one of young African leaders from across the continent, but secondly, getting to understand a taste of the work being done back here at home amongst the other young people that are here. And the other thing I want to say is, you mentioned a 200-year history in America. And at the presidential precinct, we were there during the 4th of July celebrations, and we got to go to a naturalization ceremony where about 50 people were naturalized as American citizens. But understanding part of my journey and coursework and academic work was understanding a very deep-rooted understanding of the American history, where their democracy came from, where their constitution came from, and dissecting that in such an intense way to understand it in our own context back at home in South Africa and in an African perspective. But understanding the principle of leadership and understanding American presidents, how their leadership qualities rubbed off on each other, how they supported each other as leaders within their own presidential terms. They uplifted other people who within the next 5 to 10 years became the next set of presidents, and that was a continual process. So that was really interesting to understand the leadership principles of those founding fathers.
So you both spent time with dynamic future leaders, current leaders, who are part of the solution on this continent. And often it's good for us to take ourselves out of our context, isn't it? Plant yourselves on the American continent, and actually you then see your own environment from a different perspective. So it sounds like it overall it's just a fascinating, good experience. And I'm interested in what message you thought you are taking there, and then what message did you come back with? I mean, that's the one thought on my mind. I am interested in your highlights, you know, that sort of thing. But what message did you go with? Did you go, I think I said to you, Sibongile, I said, you must go there with a message, you know, whatever that. What did you go with, and what did you come back with? And you may have mentioned some of it now, but quick thoughts on that.
And I mean, this changed from day to day. So I would think one thing, and I would think this is my approach, and this is what I want to teach people about South Africa. But in the end, it was more learning from all other African leaders. And I mean, Catherine describes this perfectly, because the best learning wasn't necessarily from American. I met the most African people than I ever have in America, which is a strange thing. I learned many different things about Africa. I learned, for instance, that we are not as cooperative as we can be as the Southern Africa region. So even you know, what I learned about West Africa, for instance, through ECOWAS and even individual country efforts, there's so much more cooperation in West Africa than we have in Southern Africa. That's one of the learnings that I definitely took from there. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, I come back with more than I went with. And I spoke about those 20 African leaders. I am, you know, in my group of friends, the only person now that they can say, I know somebody in almost all 49 sub-Saharan African countries.
Are you consciously staying in touch with them? Is there a program that, brings you back together maybe, or that somehow connects you consistently to each other so that we can keep this network going?
So there are several things that are happening, Adrian. We have regional advisory boards that we are now undertaking to vote for in this current week, actually, and that's to keep the energy and all of the efforts that came through the presidential summit and what happened in Washington, D.C. going. That's the first thing. And secondly, there's also a reverse exchange opportunity. And in this case, it's to exchange with an American peer collaborator that you may have met in the U.S. that you would like to bring to South Africa to bring some learnings or to share knowledge. And this is something that I'm going to get involved with. I met a guy from the Urban Arts Partnership. I work in my individual capacity in an after-school program that we've started to integrate the arts, so sort of STEAM rather than STEM, arts integration into the sciences. And I'll be bringing a guy, Chen Lo, who's an artist in America and a teaching artist in particular, and I'll be collaborating with somebody else from Ghana who was also on my program, Akosua, who runs an arts education program as well. So we'll be collaborating to bring Chen to come share and learn from other teaching artists here in South Africa as well.
Gee, a lot, yeah. Hey, Alice, Louis, Catherine, just very quickly, the message you went with and what you came back with, and then I'm interested in your thoughts on this program, Alice. It's fascinating, eh?
I think it was really, it's difficult to say exactly what my message was, but to take, I think, and like you said, every single day changed. I learned so much more than I possibly could have gone with. However, the two things that I really tried to focus on, and every day was a learning day just in that little space, to share my knowledge on climate change in Africa and sustainability and building sustainable economies in Africa was something, a conversation I tried to have with each and every single one of my fellows at the presidential precinct to understand how climate change does not exist in their agenda was frightening and interesting, and what an amazing opportunity that lies there. So that was the one learning. And to take the work that I do with the Western Sahara and the Sahrawi refugees, to take that work that I do and to share that knowledge and have very interesting open debates and discussions on the Sahrawi people and the issue of this last colony of Africa, for me that was also an interesting dialogue. I came back with many new perspectives, many new ways of thinking and approaching what can be done and what must be done. And I think that the last thing was, how do we leapfrog our own democracy in South Africa, taking 200 years of lessons learnt? And yes, America doesn't have it right yet, but they have made so many amazing advancements within their own democracy. They have a constitution that has never been changed or challenged. They have a very strong constitution that is used throughout the world as a foundation to building new constitutions. How do we take basic lessons of what they have got right to leapfrog our own advancement in South Africa? And being in the US at a time where the elections are happening, the way that the Americans hang out their dirty laundry, oh my goodness, that was a learning experience.
We can
experience.
Learn from that, eh?
Wow. I mean, we think we have dirty politics, but they really taught us so many things. So I understood the American political system in a way that I've never understood it before. Mm-hmm. So seeing the Republican convention and the Democratic convention, understanding the intricate details of how they elect a president was really very insightful.
Yeah, Alice, I mean, you spent a few, you're a solid South African. You spent a few years there reporting on businesses from the New York Stock Exchange. So, I mean, you kind of understand their condensed version of a visit there.
Absolutely.
Your thoughts on this?
Look, I think it's a fascinating program. You know, obviously, it's in keeping with the era of our time where the world is becoming more and more connected. And young people have to be the ones that are leading that connection, you know, whether you're talking about the World Economic Forum, you know, young global leaders, as well as this program that Catherine and Sbongile have gone to. It actually makes me feel very good that, you know, young people now have these opportunities to leave and go and see how the world hangs together and then bring those learnings into our country. The problem that I have is that people like Sbongile and Catherine, maybe myself, then have to find ways to integrate our thinking to change the thinking that's currently prevailing in our society. Because we also become very averse to thinking there's anything we can learn from outside. You know, it's like if it ain't invented here, then it doesn't belong here. But, you know, June 30, 2013, Obama spoke at UCT. And these words have always stuck with me. This is what he said. He said, "Now, ultimately, I believe that Africans should make up their own minds about what serves African interests." Mm. And that was essentially a challenge to people like Catherine Ensponga and myself, yourself as well, to truly determine what best serves our interest, you know. And one hopes that through such initiatives, you know, fundamental change can happen, especially in the areas of education, you know, health, you know, gender issues, agriculture. How are we going to feed our people? Mm. You know, I'm saddened to hear that, you know, the narrative of Africa still hasn't changed. You know, I've been in the media for more than 20 years, and we thought that progress was emerging in terms of saying Africa rising, you know, but yeah. Then you start having these issues like the standoff we refer to, which then takes you back to asking the question as to what is wrong with our leaders and what is wrong with the people who are us, who follow these leaders. Why can't we determine what best serves our interest?
It's a reflection on us ultimately, isn't it, Louis? You want to say something about this problem?
Well, I just want to say thank you too. I enjoyed that. America, I know many Americans over the years, and they represent often the best and the worst in many ways. And they're pretty proud of it. It's amazing. Amazing. They kind of moralize the whole world, and there's a lot of faults. At the same time, what I love about this experience, and I think from a leadership point of view, the Americans use the term, we speak with somebody. We say you speak to somebody. And I think the idea of speaking with people is a vital point. Every time at 75 years old, I'm in a conversation, something's changing in me. And what they're saying is they were changing all the time. Now, this is part of the attitude. Mm-hmm. How can we have a positive attitude towards life around us? We need to speak with people, not to people, not moralize people, not label people. So what I learned from this is a confirmation that when we master the art of speaking with people, we will grow and the country will change.
Simugile and Catherine, should we do more of this, or is that enough? We have to, you know, Tulima Nomsela said you have people who say they're going to do things and some who actually do things. Mm-hmm. Or is that enough? Not meaning don't ever do it again. Or do we actually need more of these kind of engagements? Should we bring more Americans over here? Or is it time to get down and do things?
I think there's a place for such programs, for such learning, so that you kind of come out of yourself and to go learn from other people. I mean, Ellis talks about the narrative of Africa not changing, but whose responsibility is it to change that? And isn't it ours, yeah. Each, you know, of our
good
own
luck,
responsibility
yeah.
to change it? And the narrative about South Africa or every one of those Africans that were there, the narrative about their own countries, it's their responsibility to change it as well. And, you know, one of the things that it showed me, this program, is our South African privilege. You know, some of the things that I was unaware of, some of the kind of intolerances or, you know, issues of inclusivity and diversity that actually are not on the agenda for many African countries. Mm-hmm. And I was confronted with, you know, ignorance when it came to LGBTI issues or ignorance when it came to our South African economy, our president and all of those things. So engagement amongst Africans, I think needs to happen even more. Mm-hmm. And I think we're the ones to change the African narrative.
That's an interesting point. I was thinking exactly that thing while you were talking. Is it's fine, let's continue these kind of conversations across continents, but on this very continent, how are we ensuring that more of these young future leaders, current leaders, get together and learn and cross-pollinate and just you know, get things going?
Can I just say something on that particular point? I think this is one of the missed opportunities of us as South Africans. Yeah. You know, when I speak to a guy from Nigeria, you know, Morocco, whatever, Ethiopia, they say South Africans just do not realize how highly valued they are in the African context because of what we've gone through and things we've accomplished, to the extent that they want us to lead. And that's the role we haven't played.
If we don't play that, we become arrogant, or the perception is we're arrogant.
I mean, we heard earlier that, you know, even West Africa is more kind of integrated and cooperative. Talk about, you know, enabling an environment for us to drive success and prosperity in this part of the world. I mean, that trade, for example, intra-Africa trade is less than 12%. Mm. Yet we trade with China and Europe, EU and the US. Yet amongst ourselves, we keep putting these barriers, you know, preventing people from moving around. You know, there's no coercive structure in terms of education and what sort of outcomes we want to drive. So whose responsibility is that? You know, I think South Africa and us as South Africans stand a better chance to try and influence those conversations.
I guess we don't have enough confidence in our own continent in some ways. Catherine?
I think we have a lot of work to do. I think the journey almost starts here because the responsibility that rests on our shoulders coming back home after such an experience. You know, I think part of this program, there were over 44,000 applicants to this program. So we had such a privilege of going and experiencing this program. The responsibility now lies on us. As a South African, there were so many interesting things because, for example, if you ask people what do they know about South Africa, unfortunately, there weren't all the things that we'd hope that they knew about South Africa. Zuma humor was a joke at where we stayed because that's what they know. The guys from Swaziland,
it's Trevor Noah's fault.
Yeah, we can blame him. You know, that kind of thing. Not everyone knows who Nelson Mandela is. And well, they know who he is, but they don't really always know why he is who he is. How is that? That for me is a fundamental flaw in history around the world. We have to go out every time we move. We are an ambassador for our country. What do we leave people with knowing about South Africa? What do we want them to know? In fact, tomorrow I'm excited. One of my fellows from Presidential Precinct is coming here for the first time from Tanzania. She'll spend the next few days with me. And it's an opportunity for me to teach her and share with her our beautiful country. We are ambassadors for our country. It was interesting to be with 24 other people who all saw me as African. Not one of them ever saw me as white. That for me was such a big take home. We need to see ourselves as an inclusive society, and we need to represent that we want people to see as well. And I think the perception of South Africa outside of South Africa on the continent needs to be worked on. And it takes every single one of us to come back home and to constantly share positive narratives about South Africa, not only because we want people to see us in a positive light, but because if we want to be leaders on this continent, on this great continent with so much opportunity, we need to be the ones that set the right kind of platform for those kinds of engagements to happen.
Sibongile?
I think as a final thought, you know, we had huge conversations about xenophobia, for instance, with our African brothers and sisters. And I think as South Africans, once we seek out knowledge and get to know about other African countries, we would be less fearful of them. We will be less anti other African countries and less xenophobic. And I think for me, that's one of the messages that I came with, you know, just in terms of, you know, having found out things about Senegal or Ghana, I'm more accepting of those people, more understanding of even their religious backgrounds. Why are Senegalese people Muslim? All of those things make me understand better and therefore less fearful.
Very quickly, at the end of your entire program, you spent a couple of hours in a town hall meeting with Barack Obama. Just your feelings, thoughts on him and that experience. Obviously, it wasn't a personal one-on-one, but both of you, give us, Catherine, your thoughts and feelings on him.
What a statesman. He was phenomenal. His energy, I thought he's just so charismatic as a leader. There was one time where somebody close to me was asking him a question and he made direct eye contact with me and you feel like there's nobody else in the room. Mm-hmm. And he speaks as if he's speaking directly to your soul. He's a phenomenal man who's got such an energy. I realized I had stopped listening at one point and I just watched how he moved, how he took his jacket off and he was rolling up his sleeves. This man's got swag. But besides that, he's such a statesman, and his ability to draw everyone into the conversation he was having. And the one thing he left me with was, what legacy are you going to leave behind? Because the world is watching.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything that Catherine said. The charisma is on another level. And you know, you say it wasn't a one-on-one meeting with Obama, but
it felt
like it for all of us because all my attention was to the president when he was speaking. So really great experience.
Yet how will history? I mean, that's what's amazing. The power of media, good or bad. History will not judge him based on those encounters necessarily, unless you guys write history. It seems like it won't. It'll judge him, Alice, fairly neutrally, or I haven't felt that he's really.
Look, it's funny. Funny that he's been in office for 8 years, and you know his term, the final term, is coming to a close. But I think his legacy is yet to be written, you know, because he just came. It was an aberration. He happened to, you know, to just learn from another planet. You know, I was in America when Obama was running for presidency and things like that. So you know, so aspect of his campaign and things. But it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew though that the world was changing when my four-year-old could identify Obama, even though he was facing the other direction and knew who he was.
Mm. Very interesting point. And you said something there that he's young, and he's now set himself up for whatever is coming. I think any American president is judged harshly, any president for that matter. So his legacy is yet to be written. Very interesting point that. Thank you so much, Catherine and Sibongile, coming in. I think we can talk about this so much more. You know, our continent, our country, leadership here, leadership there. We live in very interesting times, as a globe, and certainly as a country. Leadership is at the heart of everything, and what a blessing to have a leadership masterclass every week where we can debate these issues very specifically around leadership. We thank you for being here. Next up, our business masterclass. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.